Someone will ask me, why thy kingdom come? Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. By the way, Pastor Daniel Olawande is in the city of Asaba and he will be here with us very shortly. And Pastor Fash is also in this city. So all the ministers that God will use, I believe that none of them will miss this program. None of them. And guess what? God has equipped them for something stronger in your life. Someone will say, Pastor, you don't know what I came here with. You don't know the God we serve in this mountain. The God we serve in this mountain will move whatsoever represents a mountain in your life. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to start this evening by sharing with us the very first word of the Lord to us, titled, The Vision of the Kingdom. The Vision of the Kingdom. When the Lord gave me this theme, it was very clear that amongst every other thing God wants to do or God is doing in our time and season, that his priority currently and in the past has been nothing other than his kingdom. God has so many things he has done with the generation. There is something we call the church age. The time it was not the church, it was kings, it was prophets, and all of that. In all of those eras and in this present era and in the next, if there is, if Jesus tarries, there is one thing that has always been constant in the mind of God, and it is his kingdom. Everything you see God doing, whether with you individually or with the church or with the body collectively, at the end of the day, the very mind of God has always been what? His kingdom. And that's why it pleases the Lord that we speak briefly today on the vision of the kingdom. Every great move of God is born from a clear vision. God does not do things anyhow. God has a working vision. There's something in the mind of God. The earth is a vision. What God is doing now, or what we are seeing God do now, is a vision of the mind. If you look at this pen, it's a physical expression of a vision. If you look at this tab, is a physical expression of a vision. If you look at the world, see this world as a physical expression of the vision of God. And when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, now remember, we are meant. Jesus taught his disciples to pray always. It's true of us. He taught his disciples to do what? Pray always. And if there is anything Jesus knew that the disciples we have to do every time, it was prayer. So, if they're going to pray every day, if they will pray at all times, it means that he has to add something to that prayer. And anything you see the Lord adding to the prayer he taught them to pray is very critical to his mind. He included the vision of his kingdom in the prayer, because he knows that this is what they should be doing every day, every time. And when you hear the phrase, thy kingdom come, is an incomplete statement. It is part of a full sentence. The full sentence ends with, thy will be done on earth as it was, it is in heaven. So what is the kingdom of God? What is the vision of the kingdom of God? Definitely it's not man going to heaven. The vision of the kingdom is not man going to heaven. And in literal terms, the vision of the kingdom is heaven descending on earth. That is the very clear vision of the kingdom. It is the very dream of God that this world will reflect his rule. His righteousness and his order. So when we look at the world around us and we cannot see visibly the righteousness of God, the rule of God, and the order of heaven, then in that place, the kingdom of God has not been manifested. What God wants is that if he looks at the earth will express the very rule of God, the very righteousness of God, and the very order of God. From the beginning, I would have read Genesis chapter 1. It is very clear that God wants the seen world to be an express representation of the unseen. He wants the earth to model what he has in heaven. Now I sent out a very wonderful video last week, and I was saying that every time politicians will come and tell us that when they get into power, there will be no war. When they get into power, things will be beautiful. Everywhere will be soft. Everywhere will be stew. They will promise all this and that and that and that. But have you found out that the more we elect them, the more the world is getting bad? Is that not true? Is that not true? So what's that indication? Or what does that indicate? It shows us that no man on earth, no natural man, let me put it that way, has a solution to this earth. Not even a single person. That's why when I see Christians want to kill themselves for politics, I laugh a little bit. Your government is not the solution to this world. In fact, you making money on earth is not the solution to this world. It's not even a solution to you personally. Until the vision of God is actualized on earth, the world will never be better. Please, I want you to write it down. Until the vision of God is fully implemented on earth, the world will never be better. When we say thy kingdom come, what we are trying to say is let your way become our way. We're inviting the administration of heaven to take over the full human system on earth. We are trying to say let the earth be governed the way heaven is governed. Some of you want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. But the reason why you want to go to heaven is because the earth is not as good as heaven. But God is saying that my vision for earth is that earth will be as good as heaven. If I ask you now, would you swap going to heaven or being on earth? Most of you will say, let me go to heaven. Three of us. And you want to go to heaven. But is heaven really your home? Huh? Is heaven really your home? Heaven is not really your home. You know what you go to heaven for? You go to heaven for vacation. If you get money now and go to Rome, and then when you enter Rome and you say home sweet home, something must be wrong with you. It's not your home. You just went there for 2 weeks. And you know those guys that will go to China, when they come back with American accent for 2 weeks. I know people who can do that. So, but listen carefully. If you understand the very vision of God over this earth, you'll be preoccupied with what God is doing on earth now than what he's doing in heaven. So the very vision of God is not about escaping the earth. It is about transforming this earth. Transforming this earth. Until our cities, our communities, and our personal lives begin to look like heaven design. There is a responsibility on every one of us, not just as a church, but as the body of Christ. As members of this wonderful kingdom, there is a responsibility on every one of us to put our hands actively into making our personal lives, our cities, our communities, to begin to look like heaven. Which means that a Christian cannot wake up one morning and say, it does not concern me what is happening around me. If you see Christians who are selfish, self-centered, they don't care. Most times, they don't even understand why God has kept them alive. Everybody who is seated here, regardless of who you are, you have a role to play in the actualization of the kingdom of God, right here where you are. With that understanding, you will find out that you never came to earth to make money. You will begin to unteach yourself certain things that this earth has taught you. As we begin to go through from one teaching to another, to another, to another, to another, the very essence of this convention that the Lord has brought us together for this 1 week is to recondition your mind to think kingdom. Because that's what Jesus is thinking. If I open the mind of Christ today, I know that the greater chunk of his mind is kingdom. Somebody will tell me it's church. I'll say no. Church is a means to the end, not the end. If you check throughout the prophets, you check Jesus, you check the apostles, you will find that if there is something constant, it is the kingdom. Please help bring that man of God to this. God is raising, I would have said God is raising men, but I would say God is raising you. Because sometimes when we begin to say this, we begin to think that it's someone who is very far away from us. Do you know there is no special mandate for the kingdom? As long as you have been born into the kingdom, you carry it. You see, the way you carry your family name is the way you carry the identity of the kingdom. You know, wherever you go now, the first thing they ask, what is your name? When you write it down, the moment you carry that name, you also carry a responsibility over that family. So I will share with you two things before we pray. Number one, the kingdom of God, or this vision of this kingdom, is spread through influence and not control. Okay. One of the very most misunderstood ideas about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God grows through dominion. Or let me not use the word dominion. Domination. We are going to dominate. If you read your Bible very well, you're not going to find a single instruction where Christ or God told man to dominate. His kingdom does not spread through dominating. It advances by influence. Don't your neighbor say influence. And how does that happen? Through transformation. One life at a time. Until righteousness becomes attractive. Righteousness is attractive. Through transformation, one life at a time. Majority of the people who are spreading the gospel in a very wrong way is what is making the gospel look unattractive. The gospel, righteousness, the gospel of the kingdom, it is attractive. It is not advanced by swords or arguments or making enemies everywhere. It is advanced by transformation, one life at a time, until righteousness becomes attractive. The kingdom is not dictatorship. It's culture. And culture spreads effectively through conviction, not compulsion. If you compel people, it's only a matter of time, they will leave it. Because they're not convinced about it. And that is why, no matter how the sons of the bondwoman will subjugate a group of people or a community or a nation, after a while, they'll be yearning for freedom. Because they're not convinced about it, they were compelled to do it. And Christ never gave us the instruction to go about compelling people. Jesus, when talking about the kingdom, made reference in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world." See, light is quiet. Salt is quiet, yet very powerful in nature. You see the way we are? If we begin to transform our nation, transform our cities, our communities, our families, our workspaces, one life at a time, just like we are light and salt, we don't need to be loud. We don't need to be aggressive. That we are not loud does not mean we are not powerful. If you cook food now and there is no salt, everybody will know. If light comes here, forget about NEPA. You know this one, that the ones that bring NEPA in your street, you hear, leave that one. If there is darkness everywhere and they bring light, no noise, but you will know. Two of us. Because it comes with the power to influence. If you put salt now in a food, remember, most times, the level of salt compared to the food is not up to 2%. But the moment you pull it, you will feel it. To the point that if you put it too much, somebody will call you Lot's wife. But the power of the influence is too much. Quiet, yet what? Powerful. Salt doesn't shout, but it changes everything it touches. If it comes to a wound, it will heal it. If it comes to something, it preserves it. That's what Christ has kept us here on earth to become. I want you to start seeing yourself from a different point of view. See yourself as an instrument of the kingdom. Christians who go about complaining every time about their world are Christians who don't understand the vision of God's kingdom. What you are complaining about most times is what you are sent to change. Stop complaining. Stop arguing. Start shining. The moment we bring the values of the kingdom and we take it to our different spheres of the society and we begin to change those spheres, the kingdom begins being attractive. Let me use someone for example. Let's say maybe Doc is a doctor, a medical doctor, and he goes to his office, you know, the hospital. He doesn't need to go about shouting, "Do you know who I am?" Most times, in fact, I found out that most people who shout, "Do you know who I am?" are not people. You don't need to go there and start shouting, "Do you know who I am?" You don't need don't need to start going there and saying, I'm a pastor, I'm a priest. Call me Reverend Dr. Doc. If you do well there, everybody will know you. If you are the best surgeon in town, they don't need to keep a parking spot for you. We know by the way patients will queue outside of your office. And then when you go there, maybe as a doctor, and you begin to bring and implement the values of the kingdom, because we say it's culture, and you stop taking bribe like some of them do, you stop advancing abortion, you start doing things the way they are meant to be done, it's only a matter of time. Righteousness will prevail in that system. And as long as that system is growing competently, it's only a matter of time. People will want to reference your life for success. You will begin to draw all men to your Jesus that you represent. You don't need to carry tracts everywhere. But let me tell you the gospel truth. One of the reasons why it's looking as if the gospel is not very progressive is that a lot of people who carry the gospel of the kingdom in their mouth, they don't carry the evidence of the gospel in their life. Some people will say, if this is the life that Jesus is for you, I don't want that kind of life. Are you following me here? There is a responsibility on every one of us that our life will model. That when we carry that life into the society, we begin to change and disciple. Discipling systems, not just people. If you're a banker, when you get to the banking hall, you teach them how to do it well. If you're a businessman, you teach them how to do business properly. You disciple industries to the point that you are advancing in it. It's only a matter of time. Men want to, what do they call it? Associate with the God of that man. One day I was talking to someone, I said, imagine what if Elon was a Christian? Do you know how many people will be Christians today? Just for the sheer fact that from time to time he will share certain things about Christ and say, I like Christianity small. Or I like the word of Christ. And you know, some people started opening up to the idea of Christianity. Now imagine if he were a Christian. Imagine how many tech people were going to Christianity. It is advanced through influence. Now listen carefully. God has never called you to fight the world. Please write it down. God has never called you to fight the world. God called you to illuminate the world, to bring light to the dark world. When people begin to see truth, excellence, love, peace, radiating through kingdom people, they will be drawn to the source. So you begin to ask yourself, what is my life radiating? What is my life showing? Am I expressing the kingdom? I've done business for 60 years. I've done business for 40 years. I've done business for 10 years. Can people reference that through your operation, not through your prayers? Most people will not understand your prayer, but they can understand your operation. Let me explain what I mean by that. Let me just digress a little bit. You see, we are trying to speak to the world a language they don't understand. An unbeliever does not understand tongues. An unbeliever does not understand your prayer. What he can understand well is for you to excel in what he's doing more than you, more than him. To that, you will earn his respect. You're not following what I'm saying here. If there are a group of doctors and I do the impossible surgery that they cannot do, and they know by medical science I cannot achieve that, then you can now tell them that there is something beyond what they don't know. Are you following what I'm saying here? You know, because when we go to the world, sometimes we are trying to tell them what they don't understand, what they cannot relate to. What they can't relate to. We do it a lot. We go for outreach and we are just speaking in tongues. You know, an average unbeliever sees you speaking in tongues as a madman. Go and check Acts chapter 2. They'll say you are drunk. They can't relate to it. So if all you have to offer your world is tongues, something is wrong. You're not following me here. I say something is what? Something is wrong. You can't just offer your world tongues. And by the way, you can't just offer your world signs and wonders. You know, there is this understanding that the moment we pray for people and they get healed, they will know that there is a God. Some of them know gods. The only thing you offer your word is not just signs and wonders. There are other things, like competence, above the natural. And they begin to say, what is wrong? There is a spirit in this man. There is something about him. There is something about his leadership that is not learned in London Business School. There is a way he prospers in his finances that is beyond Harvard. There is something about his profession that we, the professionals, have found out that is beyond us. Then they will come to you. If they now come to you, that's where discipleship starts. You begin to introduce them to your God. Don't you remember? Say, righteousness in my life must be attractive.
Yes.
Enough of this Christianity that is not attractive. Enough of it. It looks as if when we go to the world, we are fighting the world. God did not tell you to fight his battle. You are not assistant Holy Ghost. You are not assistant Jesus. Neither are you God's superintendent. Leave the battle for him. Just shine your light. That's what God wants you to do. Every believer is a divine influencer. Called to represent the culture of heaven in his or her space. Oh, there is this new word that is everywhere now. Everybody wants to be a content creator. Small thing, you don't buy a ring light. Small thing, everybody has ring light now. Apart from, I'm the only one that does not have ring light. I'm the only person. I will not succumb to that pressure. Amen. Buy ring light, you just, see, let's forget about ring light for a minute. But listen carefully. There is an assignment God has given to you to influence your space for him. And how do you do that? By using the culture of heaven to influence that space. A nation is conquered through a people. And one of the ways to conquer a nation is to change their culture. Once you change your culture, it's done. And that's one of the things happening to the U.S. now. You are strategically placed in your space to show what heaven looks like. So stop representing us bad. I'm not following what I'm saying here. I said you are strategically placed in your space to show men what heaven looks like. So stop misrepresenting our kingdom. I did not say your kingdom. I say our kingdom. Don't bring embarrassment to our kingdom. There's one thing I'll keep praying. Father, may I never be a reason why someone will say there is no God. May I never be a reason why someone will drop out from the faith. And let it not just be, because sometimes you can keep the righteous, the moral law. Do not steal, do not kill, do not fornicate, don't get into adultery. That's fine. But what of the other one? Are you a lazy Christian? Don't you know in today's world, it's like people hate laziness more than iniquity. The second thing I want to say, then we'll pray, is that the kingdom is established through transformed men. And that's where you come in. The kingdom is established through men that has been what? Transformed. Every move of God begins with a man or woman who has surrendered fully to God. The reason why it's looking as if the kingdom in our time and season is not very effective is that we have a lot of people who have supposedly come into the kingdom, but they are not surrendered. Until you are surrendered, you can't be transformed by God. You cannot be transformed by God until you are surrendered. If you surrender, he can transform you. Now, look at God as the potter and look at yourself as the clay. The more you struggle, the less likely you will become the image the potter wants. And it's only that image that can bring about transformation in your sphere. The way you are can't change your society. So you have to surrender to God. He will change you and then use you to change. If I want to change Nigeria into a beastly nation, you know what I will have to do? You know what I will do? Do you know what I will do? I will not go and bring a beastly nation and bring it to Nigeria. I'm not going to uproot the beastly nation. I'm going to bring people from the beastly nation and bring them into Nigeria. It's only a matter of time. If they do things with this nation, after a while, they will turn this nation to where they are coming from. I speak to you in parables about a world power that has not understood what is wrong with her. You know, we're in this nation and they keep importing people from one part of Africa. And you are wondering what is happening to the north every time. It's not because the northern region has a curse on it. There are people with a culture that they brought somewhere and put them there. It's only a matter of time they will change the whole space. And that is the way it is with you and I. God cannot change our nation until we come in. But before we come in, God has to transform us first. Now, Jesus made a profound statement. He said that the kingdom of God is within you. So it means that before the kingdom of God can come to the earth, it must come to man first. Before the kingdom can arrive fully on earth, it must arrive fully in the hearts of men. It is when it has arrived in the hearts of men, those men will now express it to their nation, to their community. The greatest strategy for establishing the kingdom of God is not political reform, But personal transformation. Personal transformation. I found out. Personal transformation. Look at what Jesus did with the 12 disciples. He said, and he called them so that they might be with him. That's it. I'm going to change these 12 people. Don't worry what these 12 people will do. Just give me these 12. I'm going to change them. Let them stay with me. When I'm done with them, I'm going to spread them. The rest is history today. We have more than 1.something billion Christians, right? Yeah, it's more than that. It started with a 12. Someone will say, it did not start with Jesus Christ. It started with just a 12. A 12 that were transformed by Christ. Revival doesn't start in the streets. It starts in the heart of men. It starts in the soul. Did you see why Jesus never called men to believe? He didn't just call, let me not say never called men. He didn't just call men to believe. What Jesus actually called men to do was to be born again. Now, I'm going to say certain offensive things throughout this convention. You are going to be angry. You are going to say some of it is illogical. You might not be happy with some of them. But I will tell you biblical truth. Listen carefully. There is nobody that can cause a change on earth until he has Christ. Write it down. Anybody who is causing a change on earth that has nothing to do with Christ is what we call temporal relief. Until Christ changes a man, every other thing you are doing to him is like painting a car with a faulty engine. You are doing yourself no justice. If a vehicle cannot move, but the vehicle can be used for paparazzi. Have you seen people? The car cannot move, but they will use it to snap. Hello? The greatest need of a man is not things on sin. It is first the transformation of what? The heart, the soul. So anybody who promises change on earth, but it does not come from the platform of Jesus Christ, is giving a temporary relief. So yes, hear me and hear me clearly. There is no politician who will be your Messiah. There is no politician on earth. There is no educationist. There is no reformer anywhere on earth who will save the world. They cannot save the world because they themselves have not been saved. God give me one nation. One wonderful nation. They promise you so many things, but they can't give you that. They don't have the power, they don't have the ability. When a man receives Christ, the very seed of transformation begins. It begins to change from the inside out. That is when true integrity can now start. You know, that's why during, you know, when election comes in like this, you know what we choose in this country? Let me tell you what we choose in this country. What we choose in this country is the lesser devil. I'm telling you the truth. What we choose in this nation is what? Lesser devil. It's everywhere. In every nation. What you choose is just the lesser devil. Never you think you are choosing a Messiah. The only one who can save this world is the one who created it. And the way he saves it is by transformation. Transformation. So listen carefully. If a man is not transformed, he does not have the capacity. He does not have the capacity in any way, form, or manner to fulfill God's mind on earth. Well, I'm trying to say this. I'm talking to believers. This is a believer's convention. So we're not here to just tell you New Testament realities. We're here to tell you the absolute truth of God's word. Now listen. If Christ has transformed you, you must begin to live like a man who is transformed. Because heaven is expecting that transformation. And what do I mean by that? Heaven is expecting that outward expression of that transformation. And what do I mean by that? If you decide that through the transformation process in your life, that you're going to employ integrity, you're going to employ righteousness, you're going to employ peace, you're going to employ justice, the more you do it, the more heaven is visible in your world. But you cannot do it until you receive the transformation on the inside. I heard some people say, "Dan, can't you see the way the white man's country is? Then there is nothing like corruption." I said, "In your village, what do they call corruption? Is that on the white man's word?" They just do their corruption in their own way. You know, evil has different forms. There's a first world evil and there's a third world evil. I think I was teaching here 2 days ago. I said, Nigerians are fighting with money ritual and blood money. In the US, their own money ritual is abortion. Their own money ritual is war. Life is life. But the one they take is even more innocent. And that one is more powerful. Go and check the people who sponsor this Planned Parenthood, this. Billionaires everywhere. But when they come to Nigeria, I say, no, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. They do it in their own way. Evil is what?
Evil.
And these are the people you are waiting to change your nation. These are the people you are waiting to bring about change. My first exhortation tonight is to let you know that there is a responsibility on you because of the way the world is. Don't leave it to politicians. They don't have a solution. This is where you come in. The transformed, the church, the people of faith. This is where you come in. If I leave my life and this world to the hand of politicians or doctors that don't know the difference between a woman and a man now, I'm in trouble. When you go out, you see a professor, and you say, "Who is a man? Who is a woman?" They say, "It's by this now. It's by identification. So it means that I can identify as a wood. One day they will identify as a cat. In fact, some people have identified as cats. One of them, the police stopped. I said, "I'm a cat." They said, "Okay, let's bring a cage." And these are the people you want to bring change. If the world is not changing, the Christians are not shining. The earth is the way it is because of the ineffectiveness of the kingdom people. There is a responsibility on you. There will be a judgment on the church. Actually, what have you done with all we have given to you? Please listen to me carefully. Transformation will not, the transformation of the society will not happen here. What will happen in church is discipleship. What will happen here is what? That's what you have come for. To be discipled so that you can disciple nations. The world is calling for you. Somebody touch your chest and say, the world is calling for me. But you must first be transformed. I mean, you cannot change a world that you are not better than. I don't know. Are you following me? You can't change a world that you are not. So listen, as I conclude, to very much paint this picture. God created the heavens. Dwelt in the heavens as a king. And he decided, I am going to extend my reign. And he said, let me create the earth. He did not say, let me create man first. Listen. He decided, I'll have to extend my territory. Let me create the earth. Now listen. When he created the earth, a problem came. If I create the earth, I have to govern it. I have to take care of it. But I cannot leave my throne and govern the earth. This is where you came in. Now listen. Listen carefully. Between man and the kingdom, which one do you think is more important? Eh? Between man and the kingdom, which one do you think is more important? The kingdom. Sorry. Man only came into the picture because the kingdom needed man. Not following me here. You see, that is why if you are a true believer, you must find the very reason why you are in this kingdom. If you are not profitable for the kingdom, you are not profitable to God. What point is it that you are living and you are not profitable to his kingdom? What point is it? You think God just wants to create man because when he looks at man, then he'll be satisfied. He gave man an assignment. He created you for a purpose. The world is decaying. It's showing that we're not doing what we are meant to do. We must all rise to our responsibilities. Our responsibility is not to fight the earth. Our responsibility is not to fight the world. Our responsibility is to preserve the earth. To bring light to a dark world. Say, I'm the light of the world. Light of the world, don't wake. Every early morning, look at yourself. Light of the world, don't wake. Up and grateful. Backflip. Bah. I did. Time to shine my light. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But if you go to shine your light, I hope it's not Nokia Touch. But you must carry this light first. How can you give what you have not experienced from the inside? There is a reason for that. That's where you come in. Not dominating, but by influencing it. Influencing the world. Till righteousness becomes attractive. And how then can righteousness become attractive? If you are not transformed, you are not qualified for the kingdom mandate if you have not been transformed. I'll keep saying it and I'll say it one more time. God doesn't just use anybody. Do you know there are a lot of people who are doing a lot of things that God did not send? Because before God sends, he processes. Transformation is part of his processing, you know, mechanism. He processes. Why? If you're unprocessed, most times you will become trouble in the field. And that is why one of the worst things that is an attack in the church is the lack of the kingdom culture. discipleship. Let me show you what I mean by that. We now live in a paparazzi generation. Somebody's famous somewhere. We bring him. By the way, write this one down. You cannot help God. Write it down. I said, I'm telling you a few things. So someone is famous somewhere. And we bring him. He's now a Christian. He's now a believer. He has not been discipled. And the next thing, after 2 weeks, we give him mic to give testimony. He has a platform of 2 million people, 3 million people. He has not been discipled. We are not sure. We have not seen the evidence of Christ in him. He's discipling people. In fact, he's even praying for people. He's not been discipled. He's not been taught anything. After 3 weeks, 4 weeks, he goes back to his vomit. And guess what? The church, because the church has now exposed her people to him, after a while, he will drag the church and the people we've exposed them to into his own mess. That's not how the kingdom operates. In this kingdom, we disciple. Because we found out that quality will match quantity in the long run. Now, let me give you an example. Some of you are crying online. Now, the president of the U.S. made a statement about the security of this nation. Do you think they will send up to, if they were to send, do you think they will send up to quarter of the soldiers Nigeria have altogether? But if they were to send quarter, do you know they will win? It's not by number alone. Say two good heads. Not lie. How much can your 1,000 naira buy you? Let me leave it there. You know there are two heads in that 1,000 naira. Listen, God goes for quality. You know why? He knows that quality will bring quantity. Two dead trees, what can they produce? But one good tree will produce more than three dead trees. God, the gospel of the kingdom is urgent in nature, but God is not in a hurry. The gospel of the kingdom, urgent in nature, but God is not in a hurry. He wants to touch the lives of those who will transform. If not, those who are sent will wound those they've been sent to. No, you're not, you're, someone is not following me here tonight, though. I don't know. In your village, do they do surgery with Nokia Touch? Do they? I'm sure they do in your village. Be honest. They don't. Why? Okay, the chargeable lantern. Let's upgrade it. Why? It is not bright enough. It's not bright enough. It won't do much justice. And that is why there's no much influence sometimes. Because you're not shining well enough. I saw one man. He was driving in the night. He brought out his torch with his window. And by the grace of God, you would think that was a bike until you come close. He's not bright enough. He's not living it out. You will leave this convention energized, taught, and equipped to go and begin to influence your generation. I said, you will leave this place energized, taught, and equipped to go and influence your generation. Amen. Listen, dear saints, because I believe this is a believer's conversion. When we go to be with the Lord after our sojourn here on earth. We will not get to heaven only to be asked, did you sin? I believe that question has been answered by the cross. I believe the sacrifice of Jesus has answered that. If you see me in heaven tomorrow, nobody will ask me, did you do this, did you do that? The question I will owe my God is my faithfulness. What have I done? After the very wonderful salt he gave to me, yet the food was tasteless. Darkness everywhere. And yet, great lights have been hidden under the bushel. From today, anyone who is under will come up.
Amen.
You know, he says, you are a city set on a hill. Cannot be hidden. You have to shine bright. You don't shine bright because you go out to the street and you are kabashing. They say, what's wrong with this guy? Even me that is a believer will push you by the side. I say, my brother, are you all right? It's still very early in the morning. You have to shine bright. You see, let me tell you. You know what we do? The church is busy here competing with who can pray the most until pillar will fall. That's not what we are called for. Who we do? Transform that rhema to a better source. Until that, the world will not give you their ears. You know what we are doing now in the body of Christ? We are recycling messages. If you check, the person that made this one 1 million, 700 persons out of them, we are 700 from this side. Let me tell you, I stumbled on an index, but I will not say it, on the growth index of the church. You know how many percent it was? You know how many percent? It was not up to 5%. Generally. Now I began to ask myself, the church growth that the Nigerian church has been saying has been happening, what is going on? They are just living life of faith and going to another place. Listen. Let the gospel become attractive again. You know what is happening now? Christians are looking for where there is better light. Or they are looking for where there is better sound. Or maybe they also are looking for a place where there is more fire and prayer. Christians winning Christians. Believers winning believers. But when we go to the real world, there is nothing attractive about us. Is that not a shame? We must wake up. Don't you never say, I must wake up. Don't somebody say, it's time for me to rise. I will shine forth. I will shine bright. I will taste better. Why and how can that be? Only through transformation. Please rise to your feet, everyone. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Have you ever seen a salt that was soaked with water? Eh? Have you ever seen a salt soaked with water? And then when you taste it, it will taste like almost powder. And you can't use it again. After a while, you know. Have you ever tasted expired salt before? I know somebody who has tasted. Let me go to the person. Have you ever tasted expired salt before? Listen. If you taste expired salt, it is no longer salt. It's almost like chalk, powder. It is useless. Now, have you seen a vehicle that water entered the headlamp area? And then all of a sudden, from being bright, it becomes blurry. You can't see again. Yes. You are going to pray. You are going to ask God. I will not be ineffective. I will not be a tasteless Christian. I will not be a Christian without influence. I will not be a Christian because I have to add numbers. I will not be, listen, enough of this Nigerian and African pride. That when you get into the place, you know, most of us we wear suits just because we want to show them that we are believers or pastors. No, ma. I'm telling you the gospel truth. If it's time for a wonderful miracle service, what will make them know that you are ready is if you wear one wonderful, you will wear that thing and sweat everywhere. No power. No evidence. You will just say, I'm a pastor. You will share testimony from here to here and nothing will happen. Listen carefully to me. You are going to pray on this mountain. You're going to say, Father, today marks the end of my tasteless Christianity. Today marks the end of my ineffective Christianity. From today, I enter into my season of shining. I enter into my season of effectiveness. Now give me your right hand of authority and say with me, in the name of Jesus. You're not ready for me. Say, in the name of Jesus. I declare by the hand of the Lord. From today, any life of ineffectiveness, I come against it this evening. I declare my light will shine forth. I declare I will taste better to my society. I will taste better to my world. Lift up your voice and make that prayer. Lift up your voice and make that prayer.